The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this will be yours if you worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then he led him to Jerusalem and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from Jesus for a time. The Gospel of the Lord. We have just begun the sacred time of Lent in order to prepare our hearts to celebrate the coming festival of Jesus' triumph over death and rising to new life. At that moment, the fullest expression of our joy will be to renew the baptismal promises which we made or were made for us. Baptism is more than just a standard of life that we have been given, more than just a cultural context, especially for those of us who may have been baptized as infants. It is quite possible that we have never consciously embraced the reality of baptism as an established living relationship with God. It is something that parents arrange for their children, but it is God who provides the grace and possibility of eternal life. You may have heard the expression, "God has no grandchildren." We don't call God grandfather. Baptism is not a relationship that happened through our parents. It happens only directly with God. Perhaps we don't think much about it, but the moment we were baptized, we were saints. How lucky those adults are to come into the church and receive baptism, because they have all their sins forgiven. Only after baptism do we have to start the work of reconciliation. The child who is baptized, now free from original sin, is blameless, free from any sin, just as Mary is. As we grow, we begin to make choices, some good ones and some not so good ones, by which we shape our lives. Often we find ourselves in need to find our way back, to come back to that original state of grace which we received in baptism. For us Catholics, the process is reconciliation and reparation for our sins. It is during this period of Lent that we find ourselves challenged to do penance, to accomplish this work, to find ourselves closer again to God, to find ourselves reconciled to one another. In the Gospel today, Jesus goes immediately from his baptism in the waters of the Jordan River into the desert. There he spends 40 days in prayer and fasting, at the end of which he is tempted by the devil and then begins his public life. It reminds us of the Israelites who, in being freed from their slavery in Egypt, passed through the waters of the Red Sea and into the desert. It was in the desert that they were formed as God's people. They came to know their relationship with him, and he prepared them for their entry into the promised land. To get from the desert into the promised land, they had to pass through the waters of the Jordan River. When we were talking about the feast of the baptism of the Lord, We discussed why it was necessary that Jesus even needed to be baptized. You could ask the same sort of question today. Why was it that Jesus needed to be in the desert being tempted by the devil? Is it possible that the devil could have had any power over Jesus? Of course not. But it shows that he entered fully into our human experience. He had every experience that we had: hunger, isolation, the heat of the day, the temptation to not do the will of his Father. The first of the devil's temptations has to do with Jesus mostly as a human being. He was in the desert for 40 days and he had not eaten. The gospel simply says he was hungry. I would say very hungry. The devil asks why Jesus doesn't just turn those stones into bread. Jesus' discipline of fasting was a choice that he had made, and he knew it was a preparation for his life as a disciplined human being. And although this might not seem like a real temptation, because Jesus could have turned stones into bread any time, it is a kind of temptation for Jesus to break his resolve. Man does not live on bread alone, Jesus says. The second temptation seems to hit more at the heart of who Jesus is as both divine and human. In Jesus' humility, he left all of his glory behind, all of his power, his dominion over all kingdoms, and he became a humble, lowly human being. It seems the devil is challenging him now to break that resolve and see if he might convince Jesus that he could somehow have both. The devil says Jesus could accomplish this simply by worshiping him. Of course, we know that a person who does this loses everything. Perhaps the devil couldn't see the reality that Jesus was both a humble man, still with the same glory of God the Son, only hidden from his view. The third temptation seems to me it's something more like presumption. I could go up on the top of a high building and jump off and presume that God is going to save me. But what would happen? Probably splat. That would be, in a certain way, demanding God to obey me. His third temptation goes to the heart of Jesus' relationship with his own Father. He has absolute trust that the Father will take care of him, but he knows that the Father is asking him to do something very difficult that he alone can do. In the beginning of his public life, this is where his journey of trust to Jerusalem begins, his journey to Calvary and the empty tomb. It is interesting how the waters of baptism, the waters of Jordan, seem to be a thread that travels throughout the story. The baptism which we have received, which is our entry into the desert, what St. Paul describes as being baptized into the death of Jesus, it's a desert where we find ourselves now, as we wait for that moment when we will rise and pass over from the desert into the promised land. It is in the promised land Jesus goes to work, so that from there he calls us to himself. As we reflect on our experience this Lent, do not forget, first, to always remind yourself that the work of God is already being done in you by the waters of your baptism. And second, to know that at the end of the season of Lent, having done our work of penance, we will know the absolute joy of renewing our baptismal promises as daughters and sons of the Father, sisters and brothers of the Son, in the unity and love of the Holy Spirit, we are heirs to eternal life. Now, there's something very, very interesting and special that we're going to watch tonight. Normally on this Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent, those who have been preparing for the Easter sacraments all go to the cathedral with the bishop, and they do this rite of ongoing conversion as the people that have been with our RCIA program have been preparing for this past year. This year, the bishop has said, because of the pandemic, that we will have only those who are to receive baptism going to the cathedral, and with those who will be receiving the call to continuing conversion, we'll do it in the parish. So that's something we get to witness tonight. So I'd like our director of RCIA to come forward now.